point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. It's been a while. It's been longer than a while. It's been 6.5 months, which is kind of half deliberate and half accidental. Crazy summertime and busy work. I haven't had a holiday since last October. And today is October 1st, so I'm out to my 11th month without a holiday. Which is, kind of, I must put in for some holidays. How about Malahide next June? That would be nice. Yeah, it's been ages. The last one I did was on the medium wave shutdown of the 567 transmitter from RTE. And that was a kind of a special. That was the one from the car, yes. And that was good fun. Nothing came of stopping them shutting it down, and away it went on the 24th of March, I think. It's gone, and to my surprise, it remains relatively silent, apart from some distance stations, like in Germany. I think there's a small station you can hear at night on 567. So what have I been up to in 6 months? Oh, whoa, loads. Too much I couldn't tell you here right now. Just scribble down a few things I thought I'd share with you. And we've just had the latest phase in an economic trouble spot. And that is that many of the Irish banks were in difficulties on Tuesday morning. The Minister for Finance stepped in, and it's not a bailout, but he bailed them out for €500 billion. Doing some very quick sums, that's more than the $700 billion that the Americans have been trying to decide whether or not they should prop up or bail out the system. I think it's a bit of a no-brainer for them, and that's for them, not for me, but for them, is that it's their system, and it's the system that they support, and it needs help. They know exactly what type of medicine it needs. That is to take our guarantees, our taxes, and our money to back up their mistakes. So it's a no-brainer. So why are these free market GOPs in America not happy to go ahead and do that? Not that I necessarily want them to do it, but I just can't, you know, see the reasoning that they love their system so much. Their system needs help. And there's only one thing big enough to help, and that's government. The thing they hate most, they don't want it helping because they hate it so much. And that's probably it. They really do need help, but they just can't come to admit that it's some sort of socialism for the rich, that they're nationalising the banks, which is a redistribution of the debt of the bank into the state. Now, when socialists properly call for the nationalisation of banks, they are talking about the nationalisation with the redistribution of wealth. So we're getting the flip side of it in a crisis. My own feeling is it is going to put a stay on the execution day, but only a stay, and it is very, very shortly here. That the whole thing is going to come tumbling down, and people will ask questions for what kind of alternative there is. One second. So we're back. I just don't get it. I don't understand why they can't just see the way that, you know, the system that they command and they control needs to be propped up and let it happen. Not that I want them to let it happen. I'd like them to do something completely different. But then you come to Ireland and they say that they've come up with a third way. They haven't come up with a third way. Somebody was told quite categorically a couple of things on Monday that a couple of Irish banks were in serious trouble and mightn't have even woken up on Tuesday alive and there. And that's very worrying. And somebody remembered that David McWilliams wrote something on Sunday and they asked for a copy of the paper, and they dug it up and they said, well, what's all this he's talking about? And it was some sort of scheme where the Irish government would back up and guarantee the debt and loans of the bank for intertransfer between other banks for the loans and the debt of the... it's quite difficult to understand, but I've had it explained to me and it's sunk in. I just can't sink it back out. And is it a third way or is it not? Well, this is what I realised, that on Monday in government buildings there was a delegation from the Construction Industry Federation and builders and developers, the big boys who have the big loans for the big housing estates that haven't sold. They've got those loans from Irish banks. See, Irish banks don't have toxic debt. They don't have toxic loans like subprime, because, you know, Irish workers were buying houses that they could afford and are paying it back. And we don't have a lot of houses going back into ownership of the banks and foreclosures and all that. We have big banking problem with the developers who have enormous loans out and housing stock. I live in the housing stock capital of Europe, where in North County Dublin, where land banks were developed in dodgy planning that have ended up in tribunal after tribunal. There is empty houses because the splurge in the last 5 or 4 years of development overdeveloped beyond need and totally for greed. And it's those developers have the big loans with the bank. And if the bank called in on those loans and these guys can't pay them, what happens? The bank wobbles, so they haven't called them in. But the bank got the money from somebody else, some other bank on the continent or somewhere else in the world. And those banks want their money back. But the local bank can't call on the developer to pay back his loan because the whole thing falls down. So what comes in? In goes the CIF on Monday. They're in to talk about the budget, which has been brought forward from December to October. It's on the 14th. And then the following morning, I'm just putting things in a sequential order. I'm saying on Tuesday morning at before 7 a.m, the banks are bailed out. Guarantees put in place for Irish banks, which by Wednesday evening is looking increasingly dodgy, that it's a good deal for banks all over the place in Ireland and in Europe, because it's exclusively for Irish banks in Ireland. So no foreign banks qualify. And this is obviously, state intervention, and it's a leg up to Irish banks as opposed to other ones who are operating and paying their taxes here in Ireland. And looks decisively unfair, and it will have a few problems. You'll probably see it slowly getting extended to other people, but it's not going to be one of those things that can spend 2 to 4 years in the European courts. It's going to have to be sorted out mighty quickly. So what's happened is, using the goodwill and good name of the credit rating of a country, Ireland, which is based on the fact that we all work, pay our taxes, get up out of bed in the morning and, work for Ireland Inc. That has been used to get the banks out of a lot of trouble. And there's a cost to that. And it is explained by some of the better economists that there is immediate costs, there's long-term costs, and there's enormous risks that are associated with it. Now, it may never come that more than 2 or 4 or 6% of the loans and debts that the banks are being guaranteed for need to be called in on and backed up. That may not happen. Even if it doesn't, there is massive costs. So a bill has gone through the Irish Parliament, the Dáil, and it is primary legislation. It's got to be defined better in secondary legislation. So basically it generally sets out how the thing's going to work, but with no particulars, no fee structures, no knowledge of whether there will be caps on the obscene payments that are paid to the top brass in the banks. I've blogged repeatedly over 2 years, that would have been 2007 June and 2006 in June, the bonuses and salary of Brian Goggin, the CEO of Bank of Ireland. He actually got a pay drop in 2008, so it didn't chart, it didn't make the news June 2008, because he actually went down 32 million euro for the top 20 brass in the banks in payments. It's absolutely obscene. So I can tell I'm probably a bit annoyed and quite pissed off with the system. It's, you know, the worst days of the system before there might be a clear out, a clean out, and a total changing of the guard, we hope. That's what's going on with the banks. Did I have anything else to say about that? Yeah, this legislation is going through, and every time you hear an ad on the radio for a financial institution, you hear what the financial regulator has asked them to add as a tagline to the end of a financial ad.
Terms and conditions apply. Blah, 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 blah. Not subject to blah, 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 blah.
Terms and conditions apply. The amazing thing here is that they've passed legislation for guaranteeing the debt and loans of the banks of Ireland for 500 billion euro for 2 years, and there are no terms or conditions. Fact. They might be added in after the recording of this podcast, but as of now, primary legislation going through the Dáil, they're voting on it tonight. No terms, no conditions. Just thought it'd be, you know, good common practice to kind of tag on to the end. Terms and conditions apply. These are the terms, these are the conditions. This is seen as a better way than nationalising the banks for debt, which I don't agree with, or letting them fail, which I haven't contemplated fully. We're in a capitalist system and it has its banks at the core, and you let the banks fail. They're trying a bit of that in America, kind of a bit of shock and awe, kind of things are bad, let a few of them go down, save a few of them, let a few go down, save a few of them. It's like, who'll we save? Okay, we'll take Freddie and Fanny, and well, we let Lehman Brothers go, and we'll let someone take AIG, or will we save it? You get confused after a while, but I haven't actually fully contemplated their system having massive failures. Probably they would see it as corrections. And boy, do they need to correct the spoils of the last boom, because they were greedy, exceedingly greedy, and they were they're just overgorged on greed.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
Next I was going to talk about, because I've gone on a bit, that's 14 minutes just ranting about the banks. I was going to talk about Sarah Palin. Now I'm not, because I've ran out of time. I'm going to have to leave it to your imaginations as to what I think. of the choice of VP for the GOP of Sarah Palin? So you have to use your imagination on that one. Can you guess? Do you know? You could be wrong. And lastly, two things to finish with. PodCamp Ireland number 2 took place in Kilkenny last weekend, and I was there and was asked by the organisers to open it with my colleague Dean Whitbread from Talking Voices. And we did an impromptu opening in 2007. So I think you do one of these things and they say, okay, we'll ask them again, because who else is mad enough to come on after the minister for, the junior minister for, what's he, the minister for cutting the public services, John McGuinness, Fianna Fáil, was to open it, but he wasn't there at the start. So I didn't get my opportunity to come on directly after him and play Don't Fear the Reaper by the Blue Oyster Cult. So we opened up and did the warm-up act, which, yes, it was probably asked for not 3 minutes before we went on. Like last year, it was asked about 3 weeks beforehand. And it didn't really help to have 3 weeks more preparation time, because there wasn't 3 weeks worth of preparation put into it. But there was about 15 minutes of preparation put into it. So it was beer mat stuff. And we just did a rundown of our potted history of media and the internet. So it kind of started in 85 and it finished right about now. Or for me, last March when I recorded my own last personal podcast. I must link to that from my blog, briangreen.com. I'll dig up the recording somewhere. In fact, I think I recorded it, but I don't know where the copy is at the moment. So I'll check if anyone else has a recording of that. That was Saturday morning at about 10:30. I saw a couple of presentations. I haven't fully absorbed them yet. I'm going to go back and listen to a few, because I find that these things, that there's 110. Yes, we doubled our numbers this year. 100 plus social media people in a room. Somebody's recording it somewhere, and somebody's streaming it live to the world and with a camera. So what I find is that I listen back to it and absorb it, and while I'm there, I'll just network. Phone call. Hello. She would, one moment now. I doubt it. No, hang on a sec. See, I even get to do receptionist as well. Where was I? You use these times when you come together in bar camps and pod camps and media camps to meet other people and try to be not as socially square as you probably are, and swap business cards and ideas and meet people, greet people and listen to what they're saying, sometimes in the wings, in the food areas, at the bar, in the corridors, in the toilets, in the car park, on the train journeys there and back, etc. That's what they're good for. They're an excuse to get together, the industry, the interested people. And so that's the bit I take most out of them. And in the afternoon I gave a presentation on social radio, which I was looking forward to doing. And in the end, I didn't get the huge numbers. I got the people who really, really wanted to be there, which is the great thing about the Rule of 2 Feet, is that it can help greatly in the ratio of signal to noise within an audience, because there's nobody there who doesn't want to be there. If you go to a corporate conference, they put on a speaker that they think is best for you to hear on that time slot, and you sit there and you have no interest, more so than not. You have no interest, or more not than so, whatever. to be there. But in a bar camp situation, in a pod camp, just go somewhere else. Take up a new hobby. It's great and talk to the smokers. And it was good. Yeah, I got through it. Had an unusual ending where it kind of went off on a tangent with somebody who walked in at the end and started asking a load of questions. Very interesting. But I'll try and unearth that particular recording and link it from the blog as well. That was PodCamp 2008. Hat tip, major hat tip to the organisers. And you could thank loads of people, but just the three organisers, of which I was not one this year. And that is Krishna Day, Bernie Goldback, and Ken McGuire. They're just the things they don't get credited for. The things you don't know that they did. The months of preparation. The media, the time, the effort, the ingenuity, the care, the attention, and the putting up with some messing around. You know, these things often don't go exactly to plan. In fact, they're designed not to go to plan, so you build in a degree of messing around. And I didn't see one of them stressed at all, which is, it's unbelievable. How could you not be at such a thing? It's like they are seasoned conference organisers, but they're not. They don't do that. And they put an absolutely wonderful PodCamp together. So enough of the adulation, because it's not a religion we're setting up here. They're brilliant. Well done. Hats off to them. And finally, where are we at? 21 and a half. We haven't got any music in today's podcast. Why am I slurring my words? I'm not even drinking. We've no music in here because I couldn't be arsed. No, because of Blip is there, and if you want to see what music I'm playing, there now exists a quasi-legal method for me linking to music that I would like people to listen to. And then they can go and find those files by way of a hyperlink and, you know, hopefully listen to them. And I've blipped, how many songs now have I blipped? Excuse me. That's why I was slurring my words, because I was almost lying down and talking up at the microphone. ...1,465 songs, give or take 50 repeats. Blip is a social radio experiment where people can pick songs and play them, and like Twitter can add a micro message of 150 characters, excuse me, to the message. And it's got the rewards in all the right places, so it's kind of quite addictive with regard to wanting to come back and take part in it. But as a tool for music discovery and as a tool for music sharing without exactly doing downloads, it is an intense piece of work. It's not the only player that will succeed in this space. There will be many, and it has its shortcomings as well. But the efforts of a would-be DJ gathering together some thoughts in a non-linear performance. It's not like 10 o'clock, I've got a half hour show to do on Blip. You can take part, or you can just not take part. So, example. Let's do an example. Let's see if we can find. How's our levels over there? We'll try and find a song to play. So let's look for something we have played before. here on the show. And we're searching, and we're searching, and we're searching. And let's just hit preview on this. And we see how the broadband was working. So you found a song based on a search criteria, which is the artist's name in this case, Rebecca Hart. And I hit preview, I listen to it, I say, that's the song. Listen to it for a bit longer to find it's not a 30-second sample or 29-second sample. And then go over to the other side of the results table and hit the word blip. And then type in your little message that goes with your song, because unless you're doing 10 tracks in a row, clutter-free, you want to maybe contribute something to the reason why you might have chosen that song and played it right here, right now. And then you hit OK or send or what's the word? Let's check the word. OK. You click OK and out your message goes to your listeners. Your listeners befriend you in the very same way that they find you on other social networks like Bebo, Facebook, Twitter. And the reward system extends into the listeners, because you can get direct listeners who found you in an active way, and you can get passive listeners who have found you through similarity engines of you've played this before and you like that. So you can get numbers of growth and curve of new listeners quite quickly. I have 2,325, which is quite impressive in that I've only been on it since about the 21st of August, and this is the 1st of October, so that's that, about 7 weeks. But it's an enormous growth period for Blip, so that adds into why I've got so many people following me. Also, the type of music I'm playing is quite appealing to half the population of Brazil, so no, I don't play Brazilian music, but they're country is well represented on the Blip network. It's a bit like one of the Google social networks for that. It's quite big in Brazil. You get an opportunity to give other people props, they're called. So you can give them kudos for playing something. So it works in two ways. One is you can come in and DJ away and pick songs and play them for other people. Or you can just sit back and listen to all the songs in a linear fashion from what your friends had played in the last few moments, in the last few hours. So you can give them props. It does replies, and you can also favourite things and add to your playlist. So it's worth checking out. It's at blip.fm/Brian Green if you want to see what I'm playing. So with that ends this little run around, and let's come back to you in another 6 months or so. Thanks for listening. Yes, mad Egypt. Why would you want to listen to this? I don't know. It isn't exactly like I've prepared anything special. I did prepare something special for an MP3 recording last week, but that's under NDA. But it was quite interesting because I've used MP3 as a delivery platform for spoken instruction in the past, and for Christmas cards I've done by MP3, and it was quite interesting. Something I could not do in a phone call, because despite the best efforts of a phone call, it's duplexes two people at least talking and listening and talking, interrupting each other, arguing. But when you sit down in front of a microphone and hit record and do the monologue, which is what you're hearing now, I think it has a more powerful presence than any It doesn't have a more powerful presence than all arguments ever. But if you want to get across the point, it is unhindered by reason, rationale. It, you know, can be explained in its fullest sense and nobody's going to jump in. And here's a phone call. Well, okay, I had a phone call earlier, but that wasn't for me. But do you know what I mean? You're not going to get interrupted. And you can get across what it is you want to say. So it was for business. And I just sketched out where I wanted to bring the conversation. And ended up talking for 24 minutes, which is only a mini marathon for someone who can talk bullshit for ages like me. And it was wonderful. It was a great piece. And the recipient was well impressed with it, I believe. So hopefully it worked for them. I'm off to enjoy and engage with loads of new music. I have just the last thing is this isn't about Blip, but it's something that's come from my using of that service. Is that I have not, obviously, if I've played 1,400 tracks in 7 weeks, do the maths. That's 200 tracks a week, all different, all, you know, carefully selected from the archives and from the now and all the times in between. The engagement level you have with your music, and it doesn't start and stop with finding a track, playing it and putting in a little message. I've talked to other people who've been doing this. As you put in your message, you want to add something. You want to take away some misconception from something. So you do research. So you jump to your trusted research avenues online and you check something out. And in doing that, you find out 10 other things. And it's the spiral opens up to your knowledge of, you know, who influenced what, where things came from, what is the music DNA of the stuff you are following. And on it goes, and you were just fact-checking. You didn't want to come across like a plonker and say something stupid or wrong about something. You might have had a conception that something was fact and you were probably right, but you want to confirm it, because there and then you have the tools right beside your tool to play it. Is your tool to write something, and beside your tool to write something, you can go and research it. So in some respects, it's a bit like Foxy Tunes, Planet Music, thingamajigs. Do they call it? They call it Planet Music, but Foxy Tunes, Planet something. My God, did that charge already? Let me think back. That's an hour to fully charge a Nokia N95 battery. That's a bit fast. Shouldn't be that fast. Maybe you just can't take anymore, so it's getting old. So you find wonderful music, you find out wonderful things about music, and you find things like I found this tonight. This is wonderful. You ready? And it's playing on blip.fm in its entirety, if you can. Actually, that song isn't. That band is, but that song isn't, because that's coming from somewhere else. It's Frank Pop Ensemble and Love Is On Our Side, which you'll find other tunes by Frank Pop on Blip and other good places. There was a story during the rounds last night that a new royalty that may be imposed on iTunes for sale of 99-cent tracks, a new 6-cent addition to a certain royalty that currently sits at 9-cent a track, which is the 10%, obviously, and it's going to go up to 15-cent a track, which is an increase of 6p on the euro, or 6 cent on the dollar. iTunes, therefore, are saying, well, it's our ball, and we're not playing football anymore. they're contemplating shutting down, which I think is absolute Is there any, there's no censorship for anything. It's just cobblers. That's what it is. It's not true. And it's saber rattling. That's what it is. They are not going to shut that down. If they shut it down and stayed down for 4.5 years, then I leave my words. But iTunes is not shutting down for 6 cents of extra royalty. And, you know, they think that they are running at a margin, that if they had to pay another 6 cents, they would be out of business. I don't think it comes down to 6 cents a margin. Now, maybe they can demonstrate that it does. But, even so, I think they should fight the good fight and pay the artists the proper amounts of money. Pay their representative bodies as little as they have to, but whatever is rightfully theirs, let them collect. And if you're still not happy, Mr. Steve Jobs, this is probably an important point. Go change the system. It happened in 1963 to a record label in the Birmingham area of the United Kingdom, and they couldn't get their band signed. So they set up their own record label, and they brought that record to Radio Luxembourg, and Radio Luxembourg wouldn't play it because it wasn't from one of the four big record companies, Pi, Decca, EMI, Major, Minor. Sorry, we're not putting it on the, we've got the airwaves are all payoled out. So what do? You set up your own radio station, and it happened. It was 1964. Radio Caroline, with an Irish entrepreneur involved at those crucial points along the way. Hopefully I got the facts right. Don't sit there and say, I'm going to shut it down, I'm not playing football for 6 cents. It doesn't work like that. Get off your behind and change the system. The system is there to be changed. And that does, you know, I don't live in America. I'm not a lobbyist, and I don't pay candidates for election large amounts of money to, you know, buy influence in their tenure as president. Some people do business that way. I don't. But, you know, whatever way it's done, rock the boat, rock the system, change it. I mean, that will be more in line with the culture of the Apple corporation than shutting it down and, you know, taking the ball home and saying, I'm not playing with you anymore. Oh, I'm wired up tonight. Somebody stop me. Had a wonderful Sunday afternoon in Howth, and met some wonderful people in the Radio Museum, and I've got a wonderful idea on the back burner. It's first given to me by my sister Liz, and it's been developing and developing and developing, and it's actually coming to the point that it's just going to burst out, and it's going to happen. I'm going to be doing something in that location, which is steeped in history. And it's just, I'm not a historian, I'm not into history. Well, I wasn't until I got old. And then I got interested in history. And I'm talking, you know, BG, you know, in an era before Greener, before I was born. I'm interested in. And so hopefully this isn't, I certainly know it isn't just me saying I'm going to do this and I'll never find any time to do it. It is definitely going to happen. I'm going to be doing so. I'm not actually telling you exactly what it is because it's confidential, not from a commercial point of view, but I need to get some permissions and some contracts and things signed, and then we'll be doing it. It's going to be wonderful. So listen, thanks for listening to Total Shite for 40 minutes. That's it. Radio at wxgc.net. and on the blog is briangreen.com. It's not for sale, sorry. Goodbye.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.